pretty nice today, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. I drove down to IU yesterday. The schools were on a 2-hour delay. But it was a nice little journey. Wow. I thought, sure, I had this thing stuck in here where I was going to start. So we're going through the life of David. And that's pretty exciting because he had a lot of ups and downs like us. And tonight, or actually this afternoon, we're going to take a look at a weird passage. It's 1 Samuel 15. There's a great passage everybody looks at where Saul doesn't go on the job and he doesn't do what God told him to do, and he gets the kingdom taken away from him and given to another guy, David. I don't even think Saul knows who David is. And Samuel has to give him that bad word. But chapter 16 of the very next chapter, we get an account of the anointing of David as king by Samuel. But then David gets a job working for the king he's going to replace. That's weird. And the job is, he's going to come in there and play this stringed instrument for him. And that's weird. And then it says, an evil spirit from the Lord, 4 different times, and that's weird, because the Lord isn't evil, is tormenting Saul. And when David plays his lyre, that's the name of the stringed instrument that he played, Saul gets some relief from being tormented by the evil spirit. Now, that's strange. I would have thought, you know, you'd have to, you know, cross yourself or get a wooden stake to drive through the vampire's heart or throw some holy water or do some other song and dance thing. But playing this lyre instrument I'd never even heard of, you know, what is up with this story? And so, as I looked at it and prayed about it a bit, I think I've got a few things to share with you about it. First of all, we know that our sovereign Lord, a lot of these things start with S, our sovereign Lord is holy, and he's much more powerful than the devil. And the devil and the demons can only do what he allows them to do. So that's the language of evil spirit from the Lord. The Lord allowed an evil spirit to torment Saul. Why would the Lord allow that to happen? Well, in the last chapter, we see that Saul has rebelled against the Lord. And Samuel tells him rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And for all we know, Saul is already consorting mediums. He eventually consorts with a medium at the end of his life and loses his life. So we don't know what he's opening himself up to, but one thing we know that he's not opening himself up to is God. And so you've heard the old expression, garbage in equals garbage out. And Saul is filling himself with a lot of garbage because he's not going to Samuel. And he's not listening to the word of the Lord. He's not obeying the word of the Lord. So it says that the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So they say to Saul, they give him some counsel. Seek out a man who's skillful playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit of God is upon you, he will play it and you'll be well. How in the world did they know that? And why that instrument? Why not the drum? I know why not the drum. My son used to play the drum. He's here. When somebody's playing the drum in your house, you are not going to be relieved. Just kidding. Or why not the crashing cymbal? No, I know why not the crashing. Anyway, but I don't know how he knew this. But anyway, in verse 18 it says, the young man answered, look, I know a person that fits this job description. He's the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and he's skillful at playing. He's a man of valor, a man of war. He's prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. That's a pretty good resume. Maybe the man of war might be freaky, but, you know, it sounds like a strong guy, maybe a Secret Service guy that Saul could use in his detail. I don't know. But anyway, he's also, the Lord is with him, which is a good thing. So Saul sends messengers to Jesse and says, send me David. And Jesse is a pretty smart guy. And he's wondering what's going to go on with my son, or the guy that's been rejected as king, and the king that's, my son's been anointed. So he loads him down with some gifts. Not the kind of gifts you'd normally think of, some sheep, a flask of wine, and a young goat, and sent that along with David as a gift to Saul. And when David got there, it says he entered into his service, and Saul loved him greatly, and David became his armor bearer. So that's kind of interesting, and that's going to set up what comes next with the battle with Goliath and,
and so forth, and you know that famous story. But it says, the last verse of the chapter here, 23, and whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Okay. This passage, I know the study guide I looked at said, you know, David was playing the book of Psalms for him. I actually believe that's true. But the passage here doesn't really say that he sang for Saul. It says he played the instrument for him. But I'm guessing because David composed a lot of psalms, which are scripture, and honor God in all kinds of situations, during torment, during persecution, during times of craving for justice and retribution, during times of exulting and happiness towards God for his blessing and so forth, that David was probably not only playing that instrument, but singing for him too. And if you think about it, and I think this is a kind of a tragic thing, I think. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Just put the elephant in the room out in the open. We all know real men don't sing. Right? We rap, or we grunt, or we do cadence. Sound off, 1, 2, sound off, 3, 4. You know, you can rap and you can do cadence to scripture. And it's a good thing. It's a good way to memorize scripture. The best, largest chunks of scripture I've memorized have been from learning to sing them. And there are resources on the web where you can go to learn scripture songs. So I really believe that Saul was dropping the ball on the word of God, as he did in the last chapter, right? You've not rejected men, you've rejected, he's not rejected men, Sammy, he's rejected me from being his God. And he's rejected the word of the Lord. But I was intrigued by a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy, it's in the law, or the law of Torah, of Moses, of a passage of scripture that I think plays into this a little bit. And it's chapter 17, verse 18, so you can think of this when you turn legal. Somewhere between the age of 17 and 18, you got legal. All right? And so what God tells Moses about kings, kings like Saul, kings like David, who's on the way, is, look, this is in verse 14 of chapter 17. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then you say, I will set a king over me like all the other nations around me. Bad move. But God foreknew that they were going to do this. And then he gives them some counsel. He says in the next verse, look, if you choose a king, choose one from amongst the Israelites, from your own people that worship me, not a foreigner that's going to bring in foreign deities. Secondly, don't get one. When you get one, make sure he doesn't get a lot of horses, because if he starts becoming a materialist, he's going to turn his heart away from me. Make sure he doesn't start getting wives for himself. This is going to be a bad thing that's going to turn his heart away. And we all know materialism can make our hearts hard towards God. And concern for romance and how we come off to women, this thing, it can distract our hearts from God. But this one is the one that I think is really cool. It's 17:18. Deuteronomy 17:18, it says, and when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, Saul, when you're sitting there, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. I just think that's cool. We're going to have an outreach over at Purdue in a couple weeks, and we're going to have a Torah manuscript, the whole book of the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Some Jewish guy back in the 17th century copied it by hand, no printing press. The letters can't touch each other, and it's a manuscript that stretches out 40 feet. It's going to be marvelous to see it. You know, I went through Bible college and seminary, never saw a manuscript of the Bible, an actual handwritten. And so I've seen pictures of them, photographs of them in books. But so this is, it's a cool thing. But every single king of Israel, Saul from the first, was supposed to make every day their own writing in this, read from it every day, and follow every, that's called a daily quiet time. That's called devotion. That's called getting in the Word and reading a bit and seeking to understand it. And when you're writing it down and you're reading it and you're hearing it, you're getting it from all the senses. But Saul didn't do this. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. And I think that's part of this, of why he was opened up to evil spirits. Now, the study guide said in the Old Testament, you know, the spirit came on people like Samson for a period of time to accomplish things, and then he would leave. But in the New Testament, for Christians, when you ask Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to stay. Okay? So we don't need to worry about, you know, when did the spirit leave from me and when did a demon come on me, that kind of thing, if you're a believer in Jesus. But I think for Saul, he was so up and down. I mean, the guy was very, very unpredictable. One minute he loves David royally, and the next minute he takes a spear and wants to kill him. And then one minute he loves him again, and then he lets him marry his daughter Micah. So he's got some ups and downs, and David is in the midst of this. But the nice thing about David, we saw from the chapter before, is that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And David had a heart for God. And we need to have a heart for God too. And I think part of the secret of that is David honored God. And David sang God's word back to God in praise. So Saul, who won't make a copy of the scriptures and won't obey the scriptures and does things his way and has rebellion, which is like the sin of witchcraft, and is heading down that path, God is still gracious to him. And gracious to him through this shepherd boy, the youngest in the family, the unpredictable one, who's playing this stringed instrument and probably singing to him the Psalms, the Word of God. Singing to him, because he won't read it himself, won't write it himself, won't obey it himself, but somehow in the hearing of it, it's therapeutic to his soul. You would think that would be a hint that you might want to go farther in there, but how many times have you and I had the same experience, right? We are bothered by the worries and the cares of the world, and it's like Jesus' parable of the sower. The seed gets thrown out there, and the worries and the concern about riches and the deceitfulness of pleasures and so forth, they choke it out and make it unproductive. Then we hear a good message, and kind of like David playing his instrument for us, we get really inspired, we have inspiring feelings, and then we go away. And then we look for somebody else to entertain us with a better song, with a better sermon, and a better internet message. But why don't we get into this thing here ourselves? Why don't we do what it says and read it and think about it and actually sing it? So that's kind of my main application for us today, is to think about the value of not just being hearers of the word or being connoisseurs and critics of other people who teach it to us, or seeking out the best music, which is a good thing, because garbage in does equal garbage out. If you listen only to head thrashing, end of the world, it's all going to blow up music, it can put you in a bad mood. If you listen to music that honors God, it can lift your spirits and actually cause you to pray whether or not you were thinking of doing so or not. And I think that's what's going on here with Saul in this passage, that he's receiving some of the common grace of God. God is still reaching out to him. But David, what a cool young man. He's skillful at playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech. You don't usually think of men of war being prudent in speech. A man of good presence, but here's the bottom line. The guy working for Saul got the resume backwards. The guy working for Saul, it was the last thing on his list. The Lord is with him. But for anybody that loves the Lord is with him is number one on the list. That's a guy that loves God. That's a good thing. People who love God tend to love people. You know, honestly, in the law, and I know you say, well, the kings had to make a copy of the law. Isn't that legalism stuff? And who wants that? But you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, where that command is given to kings, the word love, love for God, love for people, word for God loving us, is mentioned over 30 times. There's only 34 chapters in the book. So just about, and it's well spread out in the book of Deuteronomy. Saul needed to know that God loved him. Saul needed to know that he was forgiven. David was the conduit of that message, but Saul's heart was hard. Heart was hard. There it is. Not heart was hard. Hard was heart. His heart was hard, right? And so that opened him up to spiritual destruction. But he got some relief. He got some relief from David. So I think the application for us men, you might want to chat around this at the table. Where do you go to hear those scriptures? And how do you yourselves get into it for your own feeding of your own self and your own copy or manuscript or journaling or prayer requests. Because this is the secret, I think, of David. He not only was a musician, he not only was a warrior, he not only was a person of good speech that the Lord was with him, but I believe he was singing and memorizing praise and prayers to God. And when he played them for people, they got relief. They got relief from thinking just about themselves and the small size view of the world, the small size view of God, small size world, the view of their potential, and they started thinking about, hey, I can know the living God because the living God loves me and is revealing himself to me. And he's worth praising. He's worth celebrating. He's worth praying to. And man, I like that David. And I like other guys like you guys that come around, you know, once a week at the huddle. We talk about these things because they lift my spirits. And my spirits need to be lifted right now. So I'm going to end with that. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to address you men today. And I'll turn over to Tom for additional instruction.
Thanks, Joe. What a great word. And, you know, something that came to my mind as he was sharing is that passage in Ephesians 5:19 that says, singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts.
Amen.
You know, it's a goodie. You know, maybe you can do that on the way home from work. When you're by yourself, maybe somebody might not want to hear you sing, but but we.